In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. In Advent, we look for Christ to come in fullness, so that all may know the peace, goodness, and justice of Christ's love in the world. In the lighting of the flame, we look to Christ in hope.
Are we on there? Okay. Sorry so much that we're having so many sound troubles this morning. It is good to have this time with you children. The Lord be with you. I brought along my raincoat today because it was rainy when I came out. But I also brought it with me today because I like to go hiking. And when I go hiking, I always bring this coat. I looked around for a long time to find a coat like this because it's a very good coat out in the rain and good on hot and sweaty days. And so, particularly, I used to live in the rainforest, and when I'd go hiking there, you'd never know when rain was going to come. And so you needed to be prepared. So you needed to have the right things in case of whatever happened. And so I always had this raincoat with me just in case of the rain. And so we're in Advent right now, and this is a time that we prepare. So maybe your house, maybe have you put up decorations yet? Maybe put up a Christmas tree, maybe put up some lights. Here in the church, we have our Advent wreath, and we have wreaths on the walls. We're getting prepared, ready for Jesus to come. And so it's a time we get ready all the right things so that we know in our hearts that we are ready so that when the day comes, we are all set. And so this is a time when we make sure we have all the things and we get ready and we are give space so that we know that God is with us. And so in these days, do take some time and get ready. Do make some decorations. Find some things. This is a way that we get ready for Christ to come. Amen.
The first reading is from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown up in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord has done great things for us. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, then were we like those who dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them." The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad indeed. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses of the Negev. The Lord has done great things for us. Those who sowed with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying the seed, will come again with joy, shouldering their sheaves. The Lord has done great things for us.
The second reading is from Thessalonians. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise the words of the prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Mountains and valleys will have to be prepared. New highways opened, new protocols declared. Almost here, God is nearing in beauty and grace. All clear every gateway, in haste come out in haste.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, chapter 1. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah nor Elijah nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. How do you recognize time as being holy? This is a question that's been weighing on my mind this week. One of the challenges of having so much of our lives moved into our homes is the blurring of boundaries. It can be hard to keep up distinctions in our lives, home versus work, social versus private, and on, these different ways that we divide up our life gets all mixed up and blurred together. And not being able to come and be in this sanctuary in person means that a space that for many of us is viewed as holy is no longer available. While God is certainly present at all times and in all places, part of our spiritual experience is to have those times and places and activities that we recognize as being holy. How do we do this when a space is that is usually marked off as holy for us can no longer be accessed? In Exodus, it recounts the encounter that Moses had with God in the burning bush. When Moses recognized God in that bush, God told him to remove his shoes, for that time and that place was holy. The act of taking off his shoes prepared Moses for a holy encounter. The act of taking off his shoes marked a difference from the normal, from the everyday concerns and the way of being, to a space of entering and encountering God present in the world. This week, we had a burning bush moment here at St. Matthew, and I mean that literally. On Thursday, Brian and Joyce came by only to notice that there was a fire in one of the bushes outside. Now, it was caught, put out quickly, minimal damage. And I did go and check, and the fire was, in fact, consuming the bush. So it was not a Moses moment with God speaking to us. It was just a normal fire. At the same time, though, I found it a reminder to mark off holy time. A reminder I needed to go about our preparations and be ready to have those boundaries into the holy. There's actually a lot of academic discussion right now on to what extent can a virtual space, like we're encountering with one another, whether it can become a holy space. But at the very least, it's a different experience of holy time and space that we are still growing to learn how to use. And so just this past week, I finished reading a draft of some work by one of my doctoral students. And he's considering the question of whether it's possible to have virtual Eucharist by using ritual theory to think about it. Ritual theory is questions of what constitutes a holy ritual. What meaning does it give? How does it operate? And so he's looking at that sociological end of what does it mean to have a holy space and a holy thing in virtual space. And basically his conclusion is it depends on what theory of ritual you use, whether you can actually have a virtual Eucharist or not. But what all the theories agree on is the importance that holy space has in our lives. And that the work of preparing external things helps create the conditions for us to experience the presence of God. We need that atmosphere, the concrete external things around us, sets the stage for us to experience God and God's holiness. That is, the physical space we're in, the things we use, play a role in how we experience God. So think about your chair for the moment, where you're sitting right now. Does it feel different from any other times you sit in that chair, any other times you're in that space? Are there ways that you mark off this time as a holy time? And during this season of the year that is a holy time in the church, this Advent season, are you finding ways to make time and spaces holy ones? To be holy means to be set apart, different from the ordinary, from the daily routine. To have a holy time and a holy place means to have some sort of cue or trigger that prepares you so that you're ready to experience God. So it takes preparation, and it takes something external, a space, an object, to help us set our minds on the holy. The reality is our culture and our lives have had fewer and fewer rituals of holiness compared to previous generations that had already been happening before the pandemic. But our need for those rituals has not lessened. If you notice how many new rituals seem to be coming up in the past 10, 20 years, increase on spending for holiday decorations, for example, or the 100-day parties at school and other rituals that become these big events that didn't used to be because there are fewer and fewer rituals of holiness in our lives. But this Advent time, this time before Christmas, is one of the few times that those rituals that mark holiness are still regularly used and still hold on to some of the traditional ones. And so we feel them all the more strongly. Notice how much we focus on the external objects of preparation for Christmas. Are you able to find those spaces this year? Normally, by this week, this is Advent 3, this church life is in full swing. Choir members are intensely practicing their anthem. They're getting ready for Christmas Eve services. The tags on the giving tree have been taken, and people are eagerly out shopping and preparing to buy those gifts for those in need. At home, decorations are going up, and there are parties to attend. All of these preparations mark the time as a holy time. It is a time of getting ready for the big event of Christmas, a time of looking forward to entering this holy space here to hear the promise of God with us. And none of that is happening this year in that way. And so we need to find new ways to mark the time as holy. Have you managed to find that? Or is everything running together this year and feeling a bit flat? How can we find a holy time and a holy space when our usual practices are disrupted? In our first reading, Isaiah speaks of the Spirit calling him to give the cloak of praise to those who mourn and rejoicing in being given the robes of righteousness. These are images of being dressed for the occasion, of getting dressed up for something special. They are images of preparation, of external signs of what's going on to mark a special time. It is trading out the clothing of sadness for the clothing of a festive time, of a wedding. Ashes were part of the rituals of mourning and sadness, garlands for times of celebration. So it's trading out the rituals of sad times for the rituals of celebratory days. These externals don't create the emotions, but they give us permission to feel them and experience them. They're the external cue that we need to help allow us to feel the fullness of that experience. And so what Isaiah is saying is that the Messiah coming is a time when God will shift all the external markers and allow us to refocus our lives from the struggles to the rejoicing at God's presence. And in that same way, our Christmas activities are external signs that help us be attuned to the joy of God's presence, the promise of Christ with us. The ways that we prepare for that actually help create our experience of that. And the external signs that we use allow us to experience the holiness of God's presence. I was only able to join briefly the Bible study this past Monday, the Bible study group, our Monday morning group. I sat in for a little bit of it. But one of the points that was being discussed was that turning on Christmas music, listening to the Christmas music, really can transform our attitude to lead us from the doldrums and agitation of these days into joy and gratitude. It's absolutely true. What we listen to, the spaces that we surround ourselves with, these things affect our mental and our spiritual well-being. When we are surrounded by the same situation day after day, when we listen to the voices of anger and division that are around us, it can be hard to feel joy, to feel hope, to feel peace, to feel the presence of God. The preparations we make, the external things that are around us, do matter for our spiritual experience. How can we make them holy ones? I will admit that in May and June, when I was not serving a congregation, instead I was watching services online at home, I enjoyed being able to watch in my pajamas. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's also something important to the routine of getting dressed up, being ready for something special, putting on festive clothes for a time of worship. It's a way of marking it off as a different time, a holy time. There's something to getting out your hymnal, your Bible, perhaps a cross or some other object that has sacred meaning, as a way of defining the space before you, your worship time, as a holy time. And I think this applies to our homes too. If you normally decorate for Christmas, do it again this year. Plan as if you're going to have big festive Christmas activities. Plan out the meal you would make, deck your halls, even if only you will see them. Sing the songs, invite joy into your life. Do not only focus on the negative feelings, the negative voices, but listen to the joy of Christ. Planning that event of Christmas may help you feel the joy and holiness of God with us. And so living out those preparations can help create a holy time for us and bring us joy. It helps too in recalling that Christ gives us the robes of his righteousness, calls us his own, calls us to follow him. After all, holiness is a gift we receive from God, not our work. The external signs simply help us to recognize it. The Messiah is coming, and Christ will bring transformation into this world. That's Christ's holy work. Let us mark this time as holy time, that we may prepare and be ready. Live as if Christ were already fully here with us. Live as if your grandest Christmas plans will be fulfilled. Prepare, prepare. And as you do that, I suspect you will be surprised by the joy it brings, surprised by the presence of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us join together in confessing our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. God of power and might, shine your radiance and come quickly to this weary world. Hear our prayers for everyone in need. Be with us as we long to see you in this world that seems so divided. Help us to see connection in you. Be with those who give of themselves for the sake of our community, especially first responders, frontline workers, and all those who promote health and protection. We pray for students and teachers and those seeking peace. We lift up all who suffer illness and especially those affected by COVID-19. Hear our prayers for everyone in need.
Our response today is, your mercy is great. God of preachers and messengers, you have entrusted your church with the work of proclaiming good news. Strengthen the witness of bishops, pastors, deacons, church musicians, lay leaders, and all people who contribute their prayers and talents to public worship. Embed your word in their hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of every living creature, you announce the year of your favor for all creation. Extend your kindness and relief to endangered animals and plants. Strengthen the human beings who rely on the rhythms of nature to make their living. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of all peoples and nations, you plant us as your oaks of righteousness and ask us to care for one another. Be present with the leaders of every nation as they govern. Give them a spirit of righteousness, that your goodness and mercy is revealed through their actions. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of exiles and wanderers, you repair what was once destroyed. We pray for people who have been displaced from their homes by fire, flood, earthquake, or storm. Support the work of Lutheran World Relief, Lutheran Disaster Response, and all disaster relief organizations in their recovery efforts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of the powerful and the helpless, you clothe us with strength when our spirits are weak and weary. Bestow your spirit upon this congregation and empower us to comfort the people who turn to us in times of need, especially Nancy Beth, Dallas, Marge, Karen, Paul, John, Janet, Avis, Alexis, Dave, Chris, Elise, Patricia, Willie, and Lois. Make your church a place of refuge and healing. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Tender God, you know sorrow and joy alike. We pray for those in our families and congregation who are not joyful in this holiday season. Comfort those who grieve. Be a companion to all who are lonely, and tend those who are sick or struggling with depression, especially Mike B, Denise, Mike M, Skip and Jerry, Joe and Kim, Allie and Jerry, Justin and Gabby, Dennis, Kellyanne, Zelona, Janice, Jesse, and Jackie, and gather all people in your healing embrace. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Merciful God, we pray for all members of this congregation. We give thanks for their faithful presence among us and for the gifts that they share. Today we pray especially for Lori, Molly, Lisa, Nancy, Mike, Allison, David, and Lindsay. Bless them and protect them. Help them to know your continual presence in their lives, and lift them up through the bonds of Christian fellowship through this congregation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of sinners and saints, you offer joy even in the midst of our grief. We are grateful for the beloved, imperfect people whose lives testify to your radiant love. Anoint all who mourn with the oil of gladness. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Draw near to us, O God,
and receive our prayers for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share signs of that peace. Peace be with you. Peace be with you.
And peace to all viewing out there. And welcome to live stream worship from St. Matthew Lutheran Church. If you're a first-time viewer, we hope you find this worship service to be a meaningful experience, and you'll join us again soon, even if we do experience technical difficulties every now and then. And by the way, Christmas Eve will be different this year. There will be two pre-recorded Christmas Eve worship opportunities available on YouTube. One will be a children's worship / activity time, and the other a more traditional Christmas Eve worship. Both should be available by noon on December 24th for your viewing convenience anytime afterward. And in addition to those, there will be a scheduled Zoom gathering at 7 p.m. for Christmas Eve fellowshipping. So keep watching for eBless for further information. And did you have fun with the game night last Friday night? Well, if you missed it and want to participate in the next one, reach out to retired Pastor Peggy by phone or email. We're still accepting estimate of giving cards. You can mail them or drop them in the box at the front door. If you stop by, remember to pick up items from your mail slot. Also, if you are able, in addition to your regular giving, please support the deficit reduction appeal now underway through the end of this year. Remember to identify this extra gift as deficit reduction. Every donation, regardless of amount, will help. Thank you. And join Pastor Eric on Zoom today when he'll be providing a Q&A at the virtual adult forum. That takes place immediately following on the Zoom, after the Zoom coffee hour. And thank you for supporting the Burlington County Sheriff's Department 25th Annual Toy Drive. Today is the last day we're able to accept an unwrapped toy gift. Also, if you haven't subscribed to our weekly eBlast, it's very simple to do so. Go to the St. Matthew website homepage, click on subscribe to weekly emails on the right side column, and follow those brief instructions. Piece of cake. And as my dear friend Mary used to say to her preschoolers, okay, boys and girls, put on your listening ears. This is very important. Be advised that the New Jersey Synod will be providing our worship service on Sunday, December 27th. St. Matthew will not be streaming that day. The Synod will provide a worship opportunity for you. That link will be forwarded as soon as we can get it. Also, Pastor Eric wants to pray for everyone over the course of this church year. Every week, he'll select five families from the directory and include them in the prayers. Don't be alarmed if you hear your name or a friend's name mentioned. And finally, on Sunday, January 3rd, and hopefully the first Sunday of every month, we'll be distributing the sacrament of Holy Communion as you drive through the exit driveway. More details on that procedure will follow. Thank you.
Now let us pray. Generous God, you have created all that is, and you provide for us in every season. Bless all that we offer, that through these gifts, the world will receive your blessing. In the name of Jesus, Emmanuel, we pray. Amen. Let us now join in praying using the words that Jesus gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Go in peace. Prepare the way of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.